This is the Soccer Agent podcast brought to you from Manchester, England. During these podcasts, we take a look at the issues relating to the regulation of soccer agents worldwide and moreover the rules, regulations and laws and procedures that apply when representing players and or clubs. So who is a podcast designed for? Well, it's designed for family members, friends, relatives of young footballers who perhaps want to explore the opportunities for the young footballer. Footballers who are considering representing themselves and wish to find their first professional contract or a new contract deal. Or even people who want to become football agents and represent players and or clubs. And registered intermediaries and or agents who wish to just keep up to date with the latest issues and rules and regulations in this area. So the purpose of the podcast is to shed light essentially on the rules and issues relating to soccer agents worldwide, and it is aimed at those who cannot, for whatever reason, find an agent to represent them. I am Rage. I trained as a lawyer, was a footballer as a youth, have a keen interest in the game, and was writing for a football blog some years ago, and I'm now the instructor on the Soccer Agent e-course created by Enlighten Law Courses, an online law course provider. Check out the course at enlightenlawcourses.com. So we shall be inviting guests to join in the discussion occasionally and also to interview them. But today I'll be delivering these lessons alone. So the first topic, topic one, we're going to discuss the importance of knowing about the rules. So we shall be taking a look at this issue from the perspective of parents and relatives of young football players, footballers who want to represent themselves to find a new employment contract or club, or registered agents or anybody else who wants to become an agent. So first of all, what is the advantage for parents, relatives, coaches or managers to learn about the relevant rules? Well, let's start by considering a scenario. The position of a player or relative or a coach or manager of a young footballer. And you have seen the player display a level of passion and skill for the game that you know they have something special. And you know with the right support and training, the player can become a professional and perhaps reach the higher echelons of the game. So what steps can you take? What options are available? Well, option one, you can find an agent, scout, academy or trial, try to secure a trial at a club for the player. So finding an agent, first of all, may be difficult because there are many restrictions in place in most countries. Most countries around the world regarding entering into contracts with minors. So you may have difficulty, you may have to find somebody who is willing to work for free effectively because it's difficult to enter into a contract with a minor, anybody under the age of 18, whereby the agent will be paid, it will receive some form of commission. There are ways around that and there are certain countries where you can do that. But generally speaking, that is the position. So finding a scout academy or club may also prove difficult. I mean, as there is a lot of competition out there, and even if you do secure a trial with a club, the club may decide the player doesn't fit in their squad, or the player may have an off day and not be selected for the squad. So the second option, option two, you can learn about the rules yourself to represent the player. Why not? FIFA has introduced changes to the regulatory landscape applying to agents in 2015, allowing anybody to become an agent. So you could basically register as an agent. Obviously, before you wish to operate as an agent, you would want to learn about the relevant legal and regulatory framework in place to ensure that you can comply with any rules that apply to agents. Or you could just learn about the rules to represent the child without even becoming an agent. But also, again, you would want to learn about the rules to ensure that you can comply with those rules. So, in fact, many high-profile footballers are represented by parents or relatives or those close to them. I'll give you one example, Lionel Messi, his father represents him. So it's not abnormal for a close relative or family member to represent a player throughout his professional career. So why would you want to learn about the rules? Well, learning about the rules shall help you avoid breaching them first and foremost when trying to find a contract for the player, and shall put you in a stronger position to explore all options available, both domestic and overseas. If you know about the FIFA rules, for instance, you can explore international transfer deals and basically investigate the rules and regulations that apply to the national associations where you'll find prospects to discuss the potential of that clubs that are interested in signing the player, for instance. So you may also prefer to instruct locally registered agents or lawyers if you prefer that option. But knowing about the rules will certainly be advantageous to explore the best options available for the player, the young player. So now let us have a look at the benefits of learning about the rules for footballers. What is the advantage? Well, for footballers who want to find a new employment contract or better deal, or just want to develop their career, they too can decide to learn about the rules, basically. But why would they want to learn about the rules? Well, they could represent themselves. For whatever reason, maybe they have a lack of representation, they can't find an agent, not happy with how they are being represented. The cost of representation, maybe they don't want to pay the cost, the commission, the offer that they've been made is too high. So perhaps they want to represent themselves because of that reason. Or they just want to improve their chances of finding or securing a new employment contract with a club, whether that's domestically or overseas. So they want to explore all options available. So they may want to learn about the rules so they can basically explore the landscape. So in fact, more than 50% of international player transfers in Europe were completed according to FIFA without agents involvement in the process. So if you're looking at that figure, those people that were not represented by agents, they were either represented by lawyers or they were not represented at all throughout the process. So there's quite a high percentage of players who do enter into negotiations without representation or choose to instruct a lawyer or go there, as I said, maybe with somebody who isn't registered, maybe a close relative, so to speak. In fact, high-profile footballers who are known to represent themselves include Eden Hazard, for example. He is known to represent himself. So it's not abnormal, once again, for professional football players, even the high-profile professional football players, to represent themselves. So now, finally, we'll have a look at the importance of knowing about the rules for registered agents or those who want to become registered agents. So what is the advantage for those? Well, FIFA is currently reforming its regulatory system to improve the conduct of agents with a view to enhancing professionalism. So why would you want to learn about the rules? Well, the advantages of agents or anybody else who wants to become an agent learning about the rules, it can be, for example, you give an international dimension to your business. First of all, if you are operating locally or nationally and you're transferring players nationally and you are not aware of the international opportunities for your clients, what you're doing a disservice to your clients. It's better for you to learn about the international landscape so you can now open up your business to the opportunities abroad for your player. And if you learn about the relevant rules, you will open that door to those that give your business an international dimension, because now you can consider international player transfers. Even if it means involving the locally registered agents throughout that process, you will be aware of the international opportunities and the rules that are in place to ensure that you can avoid breaching those rules ensure that you are first and foremost not breaching your professional duty to your client, your fiduciary duty, for instance, to ensure that you're always providing the best possible service to your client. Reduce any prospect of a claim being brought against you, whether that is for professional negligence. And in fact, a failure to follow the rules can lead to civil, disciplinary, or even criminal offences. So it's very important. For instance, a failure to disclose all agreements to your client that are involved with your client can lead to a forfeiture of all commissions earned under some rules, under some of the National Football Association regulations. So learning about the rules can also result in ultimately in a higher degree of professionalism, and thereby allow you to attract the better players and clubs in the process. So the importance of learning about the rules is clear. I mean, especially from FIFA's reason for changing the regulations in the first place, which included the fact that a large number of approximately 70% of football player transfers were involved unlicensed individuals. So they've opened up the market to anybody. So anybody can literally become an agent. But first and foremost, you would need to learn about the each National Football Association is responsible for its own registration and licensing procedure. So you would need to learn about those rules, first of all, the requirements from the National Football Association. And from a professional perspective, you would also want to learn about the regulatory framework that would apply to you when you're representing players and clubs. This is lesson one. I'm going to take a look at the use of agents throughout the world, the importance of agents, the important role that they play in football. Well, football or soccer is by far the most popular sport in the world. There are an estimated 3.5 billion supporters worldwide, and approximately half of those play football, according to statistics. And football teams like Chelsea, Man United, Man City, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus, AC Milan, Inter Milan, Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, to name but a few, all are all aiming to win the top trophies, to participate in the Champions League, to win their domestic trophies. So they have an incredible amount of pressure imposed on them. So they're constantly vying, they're constantly searching for the best possible players out there, the ones with the most talent. For instance, like Neymar Jr., for instance, Paris Saint-Germain signed him. We have Cristiano Ronaldo signed with Juventus, Lionel Messi with Barcelona. We saw that he was going to leave Barcelona, and speculation was that he was going to sign for Man City, but he didn't due to his contract, a contractual clause. Anyway, there's an incredible amount of pressure imposed on these teams to win trophies, to participate in the top competitions, to keep the revenue coming in, basically. And the European football market in general continues to increase in terms of revenue. It reached a staggering 28.4 billion euros between 2017 and 18, and 28.9 billion euros a year later between 2018 and 19. So the money generated in the game from broadcasting rights, TV, satellite, radio, sponsorship, commercial deals, amongst other things, all contribute towards these clubs, all trying to find the best players and increasing the this has an effect of boosting the salaries also and the salary demands of the best players in the world. So the Premier League is still the largest revenue generated league in the world, followed by Germany, Spain, Italy and France. So the European market is the most lucrative market, especially for amateur players and professional players worldwide. They all want to play within the European market. So the pressure imposed on these elite teams, these top teams, to win the top competitions means that they have networks of scouts, intermediaries or football agents and other officials worldwide who are constantly on the lookout for the best possible players to sign, even when they are youngsters in their teenage years and even earlier, to ensure that they can improve their performances year in, year out, and win the best competitions or at least participate in them. So And gathering statistical data is now commonplace, so teams can review their past performances and improve future performances, basically. And this cycle all continues to contribute towards attracting more players to Europe due to the greater demand for players, the best players especially. And it has a knock-on effect, as I said, to increase salary demands of the best possible players. So if we look at some of the statistics on the demand for agents, spending on agents' commissions alone has grown from $653.9 million US dollars in 2019, which represented an increase from last year. And clubs like Italy spent $130.5 million in 2019 on agents, both the releasing club and the club that was signing a player. England came second with $103.6 million, then Germany, Portugal, all the way down to, we have Brazil with $13.4 million. And then it continues going down with clubs spending less and less. But anyway, there were an estimated 17,896 international transfers of male professional football players completed formally through FIFA's transfer matching system in 2019. And that does not include the domestic transfers themselves, which would increase that number. So we can see that there is clearly a demand for agents. This is lesson two, the role of agents or intermediaries. A football agent or intermediary is a person or legal entity, a company that represents players and or clubs for a fee or commission or even free of charge. I quote, with a view to concluding an employment contract or represents clubs in negotiations with a view to concluding transfer agreements. The employment contract aspect is when an agent is representing the player in order to secure an employment contract for the player, or the club when he is the agent, he or she is attempting to secure a transfer agreement for the club. So the right of players and or clubs to instruct an agent to represent them during contract negotiations is outlined under FIFA statutes, where it says that either party is, I quote, entitled to engage the services of intermediaries when concluding an employment contract or a transfer agreement. I've explained the significance of the employment contract, that's for a player, or the transfer agreement for a club. So you'll find that under Article 4 of the regulations governing the application of the statutes. So the emergence of agents, when did they emerge? Well, prior to the 1980s, there were very few agents in football, in soccer or football, whichever term you prefer. And those who were performing this role received a relatively meagre salary, a very small salary. So following the influx of money into the game from as a result of commercialisation of football worldwide, a gap emerged in the market that agents filled, and the demand for agents allowed them to command a high fee for the services they were providing as an intermediary, a go-between the player and club, and representing the interests of players and or clubs throughout the process, the transfer agreement process or the employment contract agreement process for the player. So the number of agents worldwide is likely to continue to grow due to the ever-increasing demand and the amount of money involved in the game, being invested in the game by sponsors, especially with the very high-profile competitions like the Champions League, the Europa League. We have the international stage like the World Cup and so forth. So sponsors continue pouring money into the game, investing money into the game. It shall increase, heighten the profile of the game, and more people shall become interested in football. So, and the deregularization of the system governing agents, amongst other things, shall mean that there shall be more agents involved in the game as well. So by 2010, the distribution of agents worldwide, we can see that we note that there were 11% of worldwide agents were operating in Italy, and that reflects the fact that the Italians in their culture, in their customs, in the game, they seem to prefer using agents, as we've noted previously in the first lesson, that the Italians, the National Football Association in Italy, the clubs involved in Italy tend to spend more on agents. So their customary practices tend to ear towards the use of agents. Then we note that there were 10% of agents worldwide operating in Spain. Then we have 8% in England, which is quite a high figure still. Then Brazil, we have 6%, Germany 6%, France 5% of agents were worldwide agents were operating in France. Then Argentina, Nigeria, Netherlands, Russia, and the remaining parts of the world constituted the other 45% of agents. So where do we see the future? What is the future trajectory of agents? Where do we see agents going in the future? Well, the role of agents has gradually evolved from the outset when we first saw agents emerging on the scene in the 1980s. As I said previously, they were essentially a go-between between club and club or player and club. And hence the term that we use now, which the official term we use is intermediary, which is a go-between essentially. So agents started out as essentially go-betweens between club and club and player and club. But the top agents now seem to be offering like a full service. They're offering more than the basic services anyway that the client need, that you would expect the player to need or the club to demand, which is a transfer agreement or employment contract. Essentially representation throughout that process, or exploring opportunities for the player or club, trying to find new players for clubs, or trying to find new clubs for players. So for example, Jonathan Barnett, who is the second most powerful agent in the world, making an estimated 78 million in commissions each year, and is chairman of the Stellar Group, which is an agency, a sports agency, has said that agents are expected to not only find new clubs for a player or provide a footballer or club with representation during the negotiation process for an employment contract or for a transfer agreement, but also take care of non-football related matters. So it's clear that agents now are expected not only to perform the basic services of representation throughout the transfer process, but also to find perform non-football related matters. And Jonathan Barnett refers to that as a full service for players or clients they represent. Their agents of the Stellar Group provide a full service for their clients. And regardless of the extent of the service an intermediary or agent provides to a client, he or she owes a fiduciary duty. So what we must bear in mind is, no matter what service you're providing to your professional client, as a professional yourself, you owe a fiduciary duty, which means you must always act in the best interest of your client, which can include when you are performing non-football related duties, or even football related duties for that matter. You must always keep your client well informed of each act that you're taking on his or her behalf, whether that's buying a car for them, finding suitable accommodation, or purchasing houses, purchasing clothing, recommending investments for them for their future, for their retirement, preparing for their retirement and so forth. So you must always act in their best interest and be forthcoming and transparent throughout the process. So the point we're making here is, the agent in the 21st century is no longer a person that just is expected to guide the player or club throughout the transfer process, finding a player for a club or a club for a player. You are also expected to take care of, I would say, tantamount to a personal assistant for the player, especially if you're representing a player. You would be acting as virtually a personal assistant. You'll be assisting the player in virtually most aspects of his or her life. So, and perhaps even providing them with the investment advice or securing expertise in that area, finding the best possible expertise, experienced people, suitably skilled people to advise your clients on how to invest his or her income. So top agents say that the level of success they achieved would not have been possible without nurturing relations with other people. So when it comes to the success of agents now, the top agents are saying that they could not have achieved the level of success they have achieved without the nurturing relations with other people within a football industry. So it's essential that you have the interpersonal skills as an agent or a person that wants to become an agent to nurture relationships with those within the game itself. So that's perhaps with managers of football clubs, with scouts, with other intermediaries throughout the world. You can work in sync with those people. You can develop relations with those people, enhance your contacts, develop your network to ensure that you maximize the prospect of succeeding. So you may wish to, for example, operate your agency or your services as an agent domestically within a country. Say you're operating in England, for instance, but you may have agents that you work with in partnership in other countries that are registered in other countries, for example, Nigeria, South Africa, throughout Europe, in other countries in Europe, Italy, or even America, searching for that have players on their books, and you may work with them in sync, whereby they, when you can try to find them a club and assist in the transfer process, that you can deal with the domestic affairs in England and they deal with the affairs in America and so forth. And so you can operate your business in a flexible fashion and develop those relations and develop your network, so to speak, to ensure that you maximize your prospects of succeeding as an agent. That's the point I'm trying to make here. So basically, as I said, the top agents say that they would not have achieved the level of success they did achieve without nurturing relations with other people operating within the football industry. So in relation to this point, Jonathan Barnett, again, once again, who also represents top players, high profile players like Gareth Bale, says his agency success is, I quote, based on our worldwide network of intermediaries, scouts and support staff. The relationships we build with our clients and our determination to get them the best deals their talent and hard work deserve. So basically he's openly stating there that the level of success they have achieved is due to their worldwide network of agents, scouts and support staff that they have throughout the world, or relationships that they have with those people. And obviously the determination that they have in securing the best possible deals for the clients to ensure that those deals reflect the level of talent and hard work that their clients possess. So what I said is there, that's the fiduciary duty being satisfied. Your first and foremost duty is your client, to your client, to act in the best his or her best interests at all times. So by acting in their best interest, it follows that you should also secure or should explore and secure the best possible deals for your clients. So it is therefore clear that to achieve anywhere near the level of success that the top agents like Jonathan Barnett have achieved, and other top agents for that matter, it is necessary to develop and nurture relationships with other agents, scouts and support staff in the footballing world. And in every as many countries as possible. That's the point that we're trying to make during this lesson. Lesson 3, an introduction to FIFA. So what is FIFA? Well, FIFA is an international, the world governing body of association football, futsal, soccer and e-football. The organisation was established in 1904 to supervise the competition between different national football associations. So FIFA introduces rules and regulations in order to govern various aspects of football at the international level. And FIFA has the responsibility of organising major tournaments for football teams such as the World Cup and promoting and developing football throughout the world. Amongst other football related matters, the body is comprised of various different departments. It's a very large body based in Geneva, Switzerland, and they are responsible for different aspects of the organisation itself. And the current president of the organisation is Gianni Infantino, who is an Italian and Swiss national, and he says that the FIFA's vision for 2020 to 2023 is to make football truly global at every level. And that's the core task of the key mission is to truly globalise, popularise and democratise football for the benefit of the entire world, and to make it more inclusive globally. And it doesn't just focus on the men's game, it also covers the women's game also. FIFA is responsible for the women's game as well worldwide. So there are currently 211 national football associations within FIFA, and there are six confederations that the national football associations fall under. The confederations are located in different parts of the world. We have the AFC in Asia, CAF in Africa, CONCACAF, that's responsible for North Central America and the Caribbean, CONMEBOL in South America, and we have the OFC in Oceania, and UEFA, that's responsible for the European football. Also under the confederations, we have federations as well, in some part that are fall under some of the confederations themselves. And as I said, there are currently 211 national football associations, and an example of the national football associations are the English Football Association. You have football associations in each of the countries throughout Europe, like Italy, Spain, Germany, France, Portugal. And you have football associations throughout the world, basically in 211 countries. And some countries are not members of FIFA themselves. Some of the associations responsible for football or soccer are not members of FIFA. So they are not strictly subject to the rules and regulations of FIFA. But for those 211 that are members of the FIFA organisation, they are subject to the rules and regulations of FIFA. And they normally implement those rules at the domestic level. So when FIFA issues rules that apply to the confederations and the national football associations, they normally filter down to the domestic level, and the national football associations introduce their own rules that emulate or that implement the FIFA rules and regulations. So what is the purpose of these national football associations implementing their own rules and regulations to emulate the national football associations of FIFA? Well, the purpose of that is to give effect to the national football the rules and regulations implemented by FIFA. Without implementing their own National Football Association rules and regulations, the FIFA rules and regulations may not have the same impact as they do when the National Football Association itself introduces its own rules. Because now the National Football Association has control over its own jurisdiction and can discipline any parties that offend those rules, that breach FIFA's rules. So that's the purpose behind the National Football Associations implementing their own rules, so they can oversee the compliance of those rules and regulate the compliance of those rules, and basically discipline any offending parties that breach those rules. It would be very difficult for FIFA to do that at the international level. So that's how the organization and the system works. The National Football Associations cooperate with FIFA as the member associations, and they implement the rules at the domestic level. We shall be taking a look at an example of those rules during the next lesson 4. Lesson 4, FIFA regulations on working with intermediaries or football agents. So the learning outcomes of this lesson, to teach you about FIFA's regulations applying to the work carried out by football intermediaries or football agents, soccer agents, whichever term you prefer. To teach you about the FIFA requirements for registering as an agent or intermediary worldwide. To teach you about the registration procedure for intermediaries worldwide. And to prepare you for registering as an agent. So FIFA introduces regulations on working with intermediaries to protect players and clubs from being involved in unethical and or illegal practices in relation to the concluding of employment contracts on behalf of a player or the transfer agreement on behalf of clubs. As I said previously, during previous lessons, FIFA opened the market because there were many unlicensed agents operating. So they handed over the responsibility of registering and licensing agents to the National Football Associations because it was easier for the National Football Associations to regulate those performing intermediary activities or representing players or clubs within their territory. However, while many of the rules outlined in the regulations are upheld by the member National Football Associations, some of them have not been implemented. So, and also, we will note that from the regulations themselves, they leave it open to the National Football Associations to implement their own rules that are stricter than FIFA's rules and regulations. So what it has created is a patchwork of different rules and regulations being implemented at the domestic level of National Football Associations throughout Europe and beyond. Each National Football Association is responsible for its own regulations that it on working with intermediaries, which has created the differences in the regulations and the licensing and registration procedure of agents within the National Football Association territories. So it is clear that from the FIFA's rules that the only obligation imposed on National Football Associations is to implement and enforce the minimum requirements highlighted by FIFA in the regulations. They need not do anything more than implement and enforce the minimum requirements. So, however, even this obligation is subject to the laws in the member association countries themselves. So it is assumed, therefore, that where there is conflict between FIFA rules and the local rules introduced by member National Football Association members, governments, for instance, it would be the duty of the member association to follow the domestic position. So where there is a conflict between the FIFA rules and the national rules or laws within the state, there is likely to be the local laws or the national laws are likely to prevail because the government will have obviously introduced those if they are laws. So anyway, we need to know what the minimum requirements are that FIFA say national football associations should implement, because that is the underlying rule that FIFA has issued or published and instructed the National Football Associations to implement and enforce. So what are the minimum requirements that FIFA say National Football Associations should implement at the domestic level? So first and foremost, the first minimum requirement is that anybody performing intermediary activities or activities that are involved with working as a football or soccer agent must sign what is known as an intermediary declaration. So that is the first requirement. The person that is performing, representing players and or clubs, must sign an intermediary declaration. So this declaration is basically a commitment by the agent or person performing those duties to uphold the obligations outlined in the document. So each clause in the declaration itself provides a rule provided by FIFA that the intermediary agrees to uphold. So what is the FIFA the intermediary declaration? Well, we have a full declaration itself on our website. You can download a copy of that at enlightenlawcourses.com. But the declaration itself I will provide you with a link to the where you can get a copy of that declaration, should I say. But the declaration, if we take a brief look at the declaration that the person performing intermediary duties must declare that they will comply with, Clause 1 states that an intermediary agrees to follow all rules, regulations, laws applicable to an intermediary, including domestic and international, and those introduced by FIFA, confederations, and or national football associations. So clearly, from Clause 1, you can see there, the person signing this agreement or declaration agrees to adhere to all and comply with all relevant laws, whether those are domestic laws or international laws. So that you can infer from that is, what you can infer from that is that by signing the declaration, you agree to adhere to laws that you are supposedly aware of. If you don't know about these laws, how can you comply with them? You are ignorant to them, you're going to obviously breach them at some point, or it more likely than not, you're going to face problems where there is a questionable breach of those rules. So you need to really, we can see from this clause one that intermediaries are expected, or agents are expected, to learn about the relevant rules that apply to them. Otherwise, they are basically representing players and or clubs blindly. There may be those people who have been doing this job for many years and they are just familiar with the framework in place. They are so familiar with it, they could navigate it blindfolded. But for those that are just starting out, they would need to learn about these rules so they are aware of the potential pitfalls, and so they can provide the best possible service to their client, and they can comply with the intermediary declaration, which states that you will follow all laws, rules and regulations. If you are aware of them, you are aware of how to comply with them. Okay, then we have clause 2, which states that the clause is a declaration by an intermediary that he or she will not currently hold any position of official while working as an intermediary. This is to prevent a conflict of interest, because the definition of official is provided at point 13 of FIFA statutes and states, official is any board member, including members of the council, committee member, referee and assistant referee, coach, trainer, and any other person responsible for technical, medical and administrative matters in FIFA, a confederation, a member association, a league or a club, as well as all other persons obliged to comply with the FIFA statutes, except players and or intermediaries. So what you can note there is, you must not simultaneously represent clients as an agent and also hold a position that could give rise to a conflict of interest. You have to be separate. You have to be sufficiently detached from these other official positions before you can represent the interests of a player. And the point there is so a potential conflict of interest does not arise. If you are representing the interests of, say, two parties at the same time, how can you represent the best interests of your client? Say your client, that your player is a client, your client is a player, and you're representing the interests of the signing club. It's very difficult for you to represent the both parties' interests, best interests at the same time, unless both parties agree in advance that you can be their representative, which is you can represent the club and the player simultaneously, because perhaps they have an agreement in place anyway. They have an understanding, the club has an understanding what the player is, terms are, and the player has an understanding with the club and he's happy to play for the club. So there's agreement in place. But if there's a potential conflict of interest that can arise, the person must not act as an intermediary for the player in those circumstances. It's to avoid a potential conflict of interest. So clause 3, a person must declare that they are of impeccable reputation and confirm that no criminal sentence has ever been imposed on them for financial or violent crime. So in relation to the test of impeccable reputation, each member National Football Association has its own requirements that an applicant must meet this test to satisfy the requirements. Each National Football Association may introduce its own version of the test of impeccable reputation. So For instance, in England, we have what is known as the test of good character. And each National Football Association has its own version, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. So clause four, an intermediary must confirm that he or she has no contractual relationship with, I quote, leagues, associations, confederations, or FIFA. Similar to clause, the above clause that I mentioned, the clause two. This is also a clause aimed at the preventing a potential conflict of interest arising. If an intermediary has entered into a contract with any of the parties mentioned, which is a leagues, association, confederations, or FIFA, then these terms of the contract, any contract entered into, any agreement entered into, should be disclosed at the outset. And an intermediary must avoid inferring that this type of contract does exist. So an intermediary should not suggest that he has a contract with the league, association, confederation, or football. That's to avoid, obviously, any misrepresentations being made to a client, whether that's a player or a club, suggesting that you are attached to, for instance, the league, or you're attached to an association, you're attached to a confederation, or you're attached to FIFA, in order to induce the other party to work with you, to instruct you or appoint you as their representative. So it's to avoid corruption as well as a potential conflict of interest arising. And then we have at clause five, an intermediary confirms that he or she will not accept a payment made by one club to another in relation to a transfer, such as training compensations or solidarity contribution. So there, clearly, an intermediary must not allow any club a club that is either eligible to receive compensation, or a club that is responsible for paying training compensation or solidarity contribution, should not allow them to make any payment to him, or for him to receive any payment on behalf of a club in relation to training compensation or solidarity contribution mechanism. Once again, it's to avoid any corrupt practices, or to ensure transparency in the system. So clause six states that the intermediary agrees not to accept any payment relating to a player under the age of 18. So as we discussed at the outset during one of these lessons, there is an obligation on intermediaries not to engage practices, not to allow minors or those under the age of 18 to engage their services. So you must not enter into a contract whereby you'll receive commission to represent minors. So the agreement here agrees not to accept any payment. So we can infer from that is that you can enter into an agreement with a minor under FIFA's, according to clause 6 of the declaration, but you would not be entitled to request a fee from or a commission from the minor itself. So while FIFA has provided this rule in the declaration, you would discover that some national football associations, for example in Germany, do allow agents or intermediaries to enter into valid contracts with players under the age of 18, providing certain conditions have been met. So once again, as I noted previously, each national football association is expected to implement and enforce the minimum requirements that FIFA has handed down. But as each national football association is sovereign in its own right, meaning it has powers in its own right, some of them do depart from FIFA's rules, or they provide their own version of the rules. And here we have an example of a national football association not introducing FIFA's rules effectively, or should I say, it's introduce a rule in its own way. That would be the best way to describe it. It's not introduced the word, the rule in the way that FIFA has strictly mentioned, which is should not accept payments relating to players under the age of 18. Instead, it has departed from that requirement and introduced a general position that allows intermediaries or agents to enter into valid contracts with miners under certain conditions. So it's provided its own version of that rule, basically, but not strictly following the rule, which is FIFA states categorically that intermediaries or agents should not enter into contracts whereby they're going to be paid for their services where miners are concerned. So here, clause 7, it asks agents or intermediaries to declare that they shall not be involved in betting, gambling, lotteries and events relating to football, and also in investing in, promoting or having dealings with any company or organization involved in this type of business. So clearly we can see there that this is trying to discourage those corrupt practices or those involved in football from engaging in betting, gambling or lotteries. Once again, this clause is aimed at preventing corrupt practices, as I said previously, by agents or intermediaries. Because, for instance, let me give you an example. Intermediaries or agents may be privy to certain information that will not be released to the general public until a future date, such as an impending transfer of a player. So, for example, I'm representing a Premier League player, and I know that he's going to be transferred, or that rumours are circulating that he wants to leave the club at the end of his contract. And I am privy to that information with the player. I've been discussing it with the player, and the player confirms that he wants to leave and play for a club in Italy. Now, we're entering into negotiations with an Italian club. Now, the general public are not aware of that information, but me as an agent and the player himself are aware of that information. It's confidential. Now, if we use our privileged position to now place a bet, I say, you know, I place a bet, maybe quite a large sum of money, that this player is going to leave and play for this club by September or by the start of the season in Italy. Say we say at the start of the transfer window, he's going to transfer. Say I give a specific date, and I get quite good odds on that bet because it's quite specific. Now, this is what FIFA is trying to discourage here, because that would be corrupt in a sense, because I'm using information that only I and the player are privy to benefit from it. And it's unfair, really, to the betting agency, the ones that are allowing people to place bets, because it's kind of circumventing their system. You are in a privileged position with information, inside information, and you know how events are going to unfold. You are in a far more privileged position than the general public. So basically, FIFA's trying to discourage that by saying that, you know, imposing a ban on intermediaries or agents or players being involved in betting or any lotteries or gambling as such. So clause 8, this provision is intended to ensure transparency in transactions between players. Clause 9, it states that this clause in the declaration and is for intermediary to provide his or her consent to leagues, associating confederations or FIFA to obtain any information necessary about the intermediary's activities. So once again, transparency. The person acting on behalf of players or clubs confirms that they are happy for information for any of these organisations, leagues, associations, confederations or FIFA to obtain information about them, about the agent's activities. Again, it's to oversee to supervise the conduct of agents, to regulate the system and govern the performance and conduct of agents throughout each of the national football associations. So clause 9, the declaration is to provide, once again, we have until clause 12, we have a number of clauses. And as I said previously, you can download a copy of this, a standard intermediary declaration from our website. You will find that on one of the pages that I'll provide a link attached to this this lesson 4. I'll provide a link so you can download a copy of the intermediary declaration and have a look at, have a mull over that, so you know what the requirements are to become a registered intermediary, what FIFA says you must, what requirements you must meet. So now we're going to have a look at the minimum requirement number two, which is the FIFA says impeccable reputation. It, and we note from impeccable reputation, which is a minimum requirement of number two, it is also a requirement at clause three of the intermediary declaration, that the person signing the declaration declares that they have an impeccable reputation. So what does that mean? What does impeccable reputation mean? It's the second minimum requirement that FIFA says must be incorporated into the National Football Association's regulations, or the process, the registration process for agents. But the manner in which this is done, however, can be different from association to association. As I said previously, each National Football Association can implement its own version of the impeccable reputation test. So, for example, in England, they adopt what is known the test of good character, as I said previously. That satisfies the impeccable reputation test. So to get a better understanding of how this test applies, I will also provide you with a link to the details of the test of good character and reputation test that the English Football Association adopts to satisfy the minimum requirement, the second minimum requirement that FIFA says all national football associations should implement and enforce in relation to the regulation of intermediaries or agents within their territory. So we've seen that providing national football associations introduce the two FIFA minimum requirements that I've mentioned previously, they are free to introduce additional rules that go above and beyond FIFA requirements. Therefore, many national football associations introduce their own registration requirements that are in many respects beyond those of FIFA requirements. I can give an example of in some jurisdictions or in some national football associations, for example, Italy, they require the applicants are required to not only register but successfully complete exams, entrance exams. So now we will have a look at the, under FIFA's rules, there are annual registration and fees that must be paid to each national football association in order to register as an agent. Once an intermediary has been registered by a national football association, he or she must renew their registration to continue providing a service as an agent in the territory where he or she is registered. So once again, different national football associations adopt different rules regarding the frequency that intermediaries or agents must register to represent players. Some national football associations have an annual fee, so you may pay an annual fee. Some national football associations have an annual fee and then you pay a renewal fee to keep renewing your registration. Some may have their own system anyway, whereby you pay a one-off fee. So the renewal of registration fees, in relation to renewal of registration of intermediaries, some national football associations, such as the English National Football Association, require agents to renew their registration annually. As I said previously, some of them do have that system in place. So each agent that performs intermediary activities within England on behalf of players and or clubs must renew their registration by paying a fee each year. And other national football associations adopt a procedure whereby an intermediary must register as an intermediary each and every time he or she intends to work as an intermediary. So for example, you may be an intermediary registered in England, but you have a client who is, as I gave you the previous scenario before, of a player who wants to play in Italy. Now, if you say, for example, the other jurisdiction where the player wants to play has a system in place where you must register each and every time you intend to perform intermediary activities, that would mean that if you wanted to represent a player in that territory, you would have to register when you're negotiating an employment contract for the player, or when you're representing the club during a transfer agreement. When you are no longer representing either of those parties, you'll be free to work for another client. But if you wanted to perform intermediary activities in the same territory once again, that would mean that in that type of system, you would have to re-register again each and every time you wanted to perform the intermediary activities. You would have to re-register to negotiate a new employment contract or to represent a club during the transfer agreement process. So with that, those are examples of the different types of systems that each National Football Association can implement, because they are sovereign. As I said previously, they are responsible for introducing their own rules and regulations at the domestic level. That's what I mean by sovereign. So the point we're trying to get at is here, if you intend to perform functions or the duties of an agent and you intend to represent players and or clubs throughout Europe, you would be responsible for registering in each of the countries where you intend to represent a player. It may very well be the case that you'll start out your career in one country, say Spain, and you'll register there as an agent. And then if you have any players on your books that are from different countries, for example in England, then when you intend to perform your services in England, you would have to register in England. But the point to be made here, each and every time you intend to perform a service in a different country, you would need to approach the National Football Association of that country and ask them for the registration and or licensing procedure that applies and is adopted in that country where you intend to perform those services. So you can comply with you can either apply to become a registered agent there or ensure that you comply with their requirements before you represent your player and or club within that territory. It is the responsibility of the intermediary to ensure that they comply with any National Football Association rules and regulations at the domestic level. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Then under FIFA's regulations on working with intermediaries, we also note that FIFA recommends that member associations should impose a 3% cap on fees for agents. However, we must bear in mind here, make it clear that this is only a recommendation rather than a binding rule imposed on national football associations. Therefore, some national football associations do introduce the cap and have imposed the cap on agents working within their territory, while others have basically also adopted a recommendation themselves, such as the English National Football Association. They recommend that intermediaries or agents do not demand more than 3% or commission from their clients. But once again, it's only a recommendation. It's not a binding obligation imposed on intermediaries and or clubs. So some associations, as I said, they will impose the cap, others will not. Some of the parties, intermediaries, players and or clubs are free to agree on their contractual terms in those jurisdictions where there's no binding obligation imposed on them to impose the cap. While other national football associations do impose restrictions on the fees, some of them are higher than the FIFA recommendation of 3%, some of them are 5%, 10%. I believe in France they have 10%, but I'll certainly cover those issues later on the course as we're discussing one of the future lessons. We will cover those things in detail. So let's now have a look at the training for intermediaries, where you have learned how the intermediary declaration imposes an obligation. You must declare when performing intermediary activities or when representing players and or clubs that you will comply with all relevant laws, rules and regulations, whether those are domestic or international. So we note that there is a responsibility on agents also to discharge to ensure that they comply with their professional duty to their client, which includes a fiduciary duty to act in the client's best interest at all times. So we can deduce from that that intermediaries must know about the rules and regulations, otherwise they cannot represent their professional clients to the best of their interests, and they cannot provide the best possible professional service if they are not aware of the rules and regulations that apply to them. However, unfortunately, there are not many courses in place. There are a number of independent courses that you'll find on the internet that do provide like training for those that wish to perform the services of an agent, and you will find a number of those courses online, such as Enlighten Law courses, the course that we provide. We do try to prepare those who want to perform the intermediary services or the agent services by representing players and clubs worldwide with the knowledge and ability to identify the relevant legal and regulatory frameworks, so they can represent their players to the best possible, the best interests of the player or club in question. But obviously, the responsibility rests with the person who wishes to perform this role of an agent or intermediary to learn about those rules. Whether you learn about them by carrying out your own research, or whether you learn about them on a course that is structured, that is well structured, and you can learn about them in a more effective manner and time efficient manner, is entirely your choice. But without knowing about the rules, it's very hard to comply with them. That's the point I'm trying to make here. It's very important that you learn about the relevant rules. How you learn about those rules is entirely at your discretion. It's entirely your choice. But it is important to try and explore whether there are suitable courses available, or you learn about the relevant rules yourself by studying the FIFA rules and regulations, the Confederation rules, the National Football Association rules, where you intend to operate as an agent, because there are many layers of rules. That's what the point I'm trying to make. And also domestic laws that may apply to you, such as contract law, wherever you wish to practice, agency law, the law of negligence or tort laws. So it's very important that you try to learn about these rules, whether you take it upon yourself to enroll on a course or you learn of your own volition, you carry out your own research in this area. We will also provide you with as I said previously, I'll provide you with a link so you can download the actual intermediary declaration, so you get an idea of what requirements need to be met. I'll also provide a link to the test of good character and reputation, which is a version of the impeccable reputation test that FIFA has said is one of the minimum requirements that National Football Association should introduce to agents. For those on our course, they get additional downloads such as the flowchart, the process for instructing intermediaries under FIFA's rules, a sample intermediary representation contract from the English Football Association, amongst other documents we provide our learners with. This is the Soccer Agent School podcast, brought to you from Manchester, England. During these podcasts, we take a look at the issues relating to the regulation of soccer agents worldwide, and moreover, the rules, regulations, and laws and procedures that apply. So who is this podcast designed for? Well, it's designed for the family members or friends or relatives of young footballers who are considering representing those young footballers to find opportunities for them, whether domestically or abroad, or footballers who are considering representing themselves to find a professional contract or a new contract deal, or anybody who wants to become a football agent or is considering becoming a football agent, and even those who are already working as football agents. So the purpose of this podcast is to shed light on the rules and issues relating to soccer agents worldwide, and is essentially aimed at those who cannot, for whatever reason, find an agent, and to highlight the rules so they may be able to represent themselves, or if it's in the case of family members, relatives or friends of young footballers, represent the young footballer. I am Rage. I trained as a lawyer, was a footballer as a youth, have a keen interest in the game, and was writing for a football blog many years ago. I am now an instructor on the Soccer Agent e-course created by Enlighten Law Courses, an online law course provider. Check out the course at enlightenlawcourses.com.
Football or soccer is by far the most popular sport in the world. It follows that many players wish to become professional players. In order to do so, a player would need to find an agent to represent his or her interests, or try to represent their own interests to find a professional contract. Either way, learning how to navigate through the different sets of rules that apply during the international player transfer process for adult or young players, and how to prepare for contract negotiations, shall improve a player's chance of securing a professional contract. So, what are the requirements to represent players or clubs worldwide? Do I need to pass FIFA exam questions or obtain a FIFA agent license? Prior to 2015, anyone who wanted to represent professional football or soccer players and/or clubs worldwide had to sit and pass exams prepared by FIFA before being given a license to become an agent. Following the introduction of changes to the rules, the responsibility for licensing and/or registering football agents was transferred over to the FIFA member national football associations around the world. Therefore, FIFA no longer has the responsibility of preparing exams for people who want to represent players and/or clubs worldwide. Nonetheless, in accordance with FIFA's regulations on working with intermediaries, 2015 edition, a player or club working with an agent, or football intermediary as they are now known, must try and ensure that the agent has signed an intermediary declaration and representation contract between the parties. The declaration in question states, amongst other things, that the agent agrees to be bound by the statutes and regulations of associations and confederations, as well as by the statutes and regulations of FIFA. Therefore, agents or intermediaries operating around the world should ensure that they learn about the relevant laws, rules and regulations that apply to them when working as a football agent. This shall not only ensure that the agent provides the standard of service to be expected by a professional player and club, but also give the agent a degree of protection against professional liability issues. For those interested in learning more about the relevant laws, rules, and regulations, the areas include the following: FIFA's regulations on the status and transfer of players, the latest edition; FIFA's regulations on working with intermediaries, the latest edition; FIFA's regulations governing the application of the statutes; FIFA's standing orders of the Congress; specific recommendations to combat match manipulation, guidelines for FIFA member associations; FIFA disciplinary code, the latest edition; FIFA code of ethics, the latest edition; the applicable FIFA circulars and annexes relating to the above regulations; National Football Association rules and regulations; league rules and regulations, such as those introduced by the English Premier League. In addition to the above FIFA rules and regulations and those introduced by national football associations and leagues, it shall also be helpful for a person who wants to represent a player, or himself or herself in the case of a professional player, to learn about important national laws, particularly contract law, and the law of tort for anyone representing the interests of others. If you want an overview of the areas you should familiarize yourself with, you can download a copy of our Soccer Agent e-course brochure from our website and take a look at the full course curriculum.